Listen, I don't mind directing it.
We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, May 18th, 2022 at 8:47 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Haxby, Schuler, Tiemann, Dorn, and Lytle. I'd like to welcome all the public here. It's always nice to see additional faces. We'll begin with the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held May 4th, 2022. Approve all claims through May 18th, 2022 in the amount of $3,664,968.10, except claim number 2205-0241 to Johnny's Welding, Inc., in the amount of $327.15, and claim number 2205-50253 to RL Tiemann Construction, Inc., in the amount of $43,293.30 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve receiving and place on file the Wymore Emergency Medical Services 2021 Annual Report. Approve state print shop for printing budget message postcards for joint public hearing per LB 644. Approve firing range agreement for law enforcement training. Approve utility permit number 1245 to OPTX Networks, OPTK Networks. OPTK Networks will be adding a new line and cable vault in county right-of-way South Greater Ditch along Belvedere Road for existing tower structure. OPTK will bore a 1.25-inch by 36-inch deep line for fiber to structures and also using existing conduit already bored in the ground located in the located North 7 Township 3, section N7, if I can get through this here, I'm sorry. Located in section N7, Township 3 North, Range 6 East, Riverside Township. You can spell it out for me, Mark. I still have to read it. Approve utility permit number 1246 to Blue Valley Telecommunications. Blue Valley will be adding a new fiber optic service to a residence at 48641 South 148th Road, Liberty, Nebraska. Blue Valley will start construction of fiber line at 51603 South 148th Road and existing cable vault in the West Greater Ditch. They'll bore under 148th Road to the East Greater Ditch and continue running the new line north in East Greater Ditch along 148th Road for 2.1 miles. Blue Valley will use a vibrating plow and place fiber 60 inches deep along the East Greater Ditch and bore under all culverts and roadways for the new line. Located in the southeast quarter of 21, southwest quarter of 22, west 27, west 34, east 33, Township 1 North, Range 8 East, Liberty Township. Approve utility permit number 1247 to Enterprise Products, LLC. Enterprise will be performing a gas line repair just north of Apple Road on 96th Road in the West Greater Ditch. Enterprise will excavate a trench 25 foot long by 8 foot deep to repair gas line. Trench might become larger and possibly in the roadway if the contractor is having to chase the repair. Located in the southeast quarter of Section 2, Township 6 North, Range 7 East, Nemaha Township. Approve utility permit number 1248 to the City of Beatrice. City of Beatrice will be installing new 16-inch PVC water main from the North Wells Southwest 89th and Elm location to existing 14-inch water line north of Hickory on Southwest 89th Road for 2.02 miles between Elm Road and Hickory Road on the south on Southwest 89th Road. Installation will consist of trenching in new PVC pipe and horizontal boring under the creeks, rivers, and roadways. A copy of the plans are on file at the Highway Department located on the north north of Section 2, east of Section 3, south of Section 3, and in Section 10. Township 4 North, Range 5 East, Blakely Township. Are there any questions or comments on the consent agenda?
On number 7,
that a new location?
Let's pull that one off for discussion. I don't know the answer to that for sure.
Move to approve Wes, item number 7.
Second.
Motion by Lidle, second by Dorn to approve the consent agenda, Wes, item 7. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Item 7, that would be a firing range. Gus, do you want to run through this with us once? This is the new firing range for the county on Mr. Lineweber's property.
Yes. Some time back, I heard a rumor the city was going to start charging us to use a facility out there that we've used for decades. So I called Chief, and he said that is, in fact, what's happening. I know the chairman spoke to the mayor, and the mayor spoke to them, and that is, in fact, what's going to happen. And I think it was like $600 to use it for the year, but I figured that's $600 for the year. And through that process, unknowns to me, word got back to Mr. Lineweber. He didn't really think that was right, and so he started building a range for us. And so we went out there and checked it over and had him do a few more things for us. He put a berm up, put a building up there for us, rocked the area for us. And so we needed to put our stages in there. We'll do that ourselves at no cost to us. And so he was going to do a handshake, and I said, we really can't do that. You know, you have to have some kind of agreement. So we drafted that, and that's there in front of the chairman now for him to sign. The only thing that he took off, which I thought he might, is I just asked in there if we could have an option, if something ever happened down the road with him, that land or something, if we had an option to drive by that little area, but he didn't want to do that, which that's fine. Certainly appreciate him going to the effort that he did, and so we're going to move forward on that with approval from the board and notify the insurance carrier. I talked to them already on a few things, and I'll finalize that with them as well on the things they need to know. Actually, they're going to meet with me tomorrow anyway and some other stuff. So that's kind of where it's at. We don't really disclose the location very often, but they're going to know about it anyway. So we start hearing the shooting out there. It's closer to town for us. It's almost an all blacktop all the way to it. So it was probably a no-win for us. It's unfortunate because my understanding was Chief Lucroft had got grant money to build the range northwest of town and for all law enforcement. But for some reason, the city's opted to do this now. And so if I have a taxpayer step up and want to do that for us, I think we'll take advantage of that, save us a few dollars. So
that range originally was grant money through the Sheriff's Department?
No.
I thought that was through the Sheriff's Department.
No, from what I was told anyway, from the guy who's been around the longer than I was in the police department, they said Luke had applied for that years ago with understanding that would be for county-wide law enforcement. But
so it's not been on paper.
I don't know, Eddie. I have no idea.
Well, the mayor thought we could work it out, too, but once he went back, he said it wasn't going to work. And it's unfortunate. It's really fortunate that the sheriff did find a private property owner, a public person that was happy to
he was
make that work for you.
More than happy to do it. He's
on a bridge.
So.
move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Lytle, second by Dorn.
Mr. Is there a need for a special use permit?
Shouldn't be. It's not a permitted facility. Do you require anything out of the ordinary for a shooting range?
So that particular property sits in the city of Beatrice's jurisdiction in their multi-jurisdictional area. So it's out of the county's jurisdiction. So,
Do you need any other material for that, Sheriff? Any rock or anything out there?
Not yet. I've been talking to Mark. We'll see how it turns out. Might have to put a little bit on the driveway if it's a little wet out there. Otherwise,
you'll have to wait until we get done with this spring's allotment.
Yeah, right.
If you do need something, maybe give me a holler. Yeah. I might be able to find some for you.
Okay, that'd be great.
Yeah, no kidding. You might finally use that Humvee. We have a motion by Lytle, second by Dorn to approve item 7. Any more discussion?
Good question. Roger, did you have a chance to look it over?
We just tweaked a couple things.
No.
It looks
okay.
Fine. Yeah.
Do you want me to check the city just in case or something, be it always within the city limits? Or
no.
Okay. Well, that's fine by me.
It's outside of the city limits. It's not a permanent structure. The building's temporary.
Yeah, it's a small temporary shed.
I'm going to make the call that we shouldn't need any permit there for a temporary structure and a dirt mound.
Thank you. And it's outside of the floodplain, so.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. All right. Motion by Lytle, second by Dorn. Any further discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. If we were building something permanent, it would be different.
Yeah, we don't need a clubhouse at our shooting range.
That's why they didn't charge.
Your license, too.
Moving on to the regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 22050241 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $327.15.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Haxby. Any discussion? Please vote. 5 in favor, with Juergens abstaining. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove claim number 22050253 to RL Team Construction, Inc. in the amount of $43,293.30 for gravel hauling. This brings the total amount of claims approved through May 18, 2022 to $3,708,588.55. This is a company that I work for.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 5 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Anything that anyone would like to comment on that's not on the agenda? Seeing none, I'll still welcome everyone here. We'll move on to committee reports. Oh. Building and grounds, winter lights. That'll be quick.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, David.
We're getting closer to the shed project on the north side. I have been talking to Sean Van Lanningham. There's two sprinkler heads in that area that are going to be disconnected. I was hoping for this week, but they said it will happen next Wednesday. They're going to come and do the full sprinkler test on the building, and at that time they will remove the two sprinkler heads there. So we'll get started with that. I did frame it in, and so it's ready for an inside wall, and so we'll just have Sean block it up and remove some concrete for that so they can start putting the stone veneer on the outside. I did get an estimate from Skyline for the damage done from the storm way back in December on the evidence building and the courthouse, and that came in, evidence building came in at $18,654.67, and the courthouse, it'd be the southwest roof flashing, came in at $5,978.82. Anthony Thiner from Skyline did contact NERMA to see where we were at, and it sounds like John from NERMA is going to meet us and review the damage done. So hopefully we'll hear something real soon on that. Detention center, I just heard from the sheriff this morning again on the shower valves. We've got a lot of problems with the plumbing over there, and there's actually two. There's a four-cell and female max where the water leaks so bad around there. There's standing water that actually goes into the cell area, so they had to move some people there. I have been talking to Todd Heido, and he did come up with a solution for that. So, he's thinking real simple. Instead of doing the push button with the Sloan valve, that's what always seems to give us the trouble, just going back to simple a turn knob in there, and they were okay with that at the detention center also. So hopefully I will get a hold of Todd as soon as I'm done here and see if he can at least start tackling the ones that are giving us trouble right now.
Dave, is there a reason we went away from the turn valve to begin with?
Oh, it's just a jail thing where they do have the push button and it only lasts for, you know, a minute or whatever, but they've always been able to find a little piece, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sheriff, but they seem to always manage to keep it going if they want to anyway. So an actual, just a turn valve would probably be work better anyway. So anyway, that's what Todd is trying to do is create just fixing that problem with things that he has on hand instead of having to order things. I know a lot of our stuff over there is actually getting obsolete. They don't even make some of those parts that work with those type of fixtures over there. So, and I'm getting a specification for extension office restroom remodel. I did get some information, and so now I should have it within the next 2 weeks of everything. I'm going to try and have it also. We're comparing apples to apples on all the fixtures and work to be done. So that should be ready in 2 weeks. And lastly, I did have a call from Patty Bartles. She's with Southeast Community College, and they have a program that is called Upward Bound through the Beatrice campus. And that is, there'd be 10 students that would work an hour and a half on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays in the afternoon for 5 weeks. And it is available if people want to take them up on it. It's so it'd be 13 days with 10 young adults working, which would be 162 hours of community service. The only thing that she did ask from me is it has to be like structured work. Usually when I get an inmate out or something, I'll just, you know, have them picking up sticks or raking the yard or washing the walls. This would be something more. It's a program to help educate them on just getting involved with community projects and things like that. So I'm going to reach out to even some of the offices and see if there's some things that they need anything done. I'd like to take them up on it, but it is kind of hard to come up with work all the time that you feel is viable for them also. So I'm going to see what all we have. One of them, the projects I was thinking would be removing the wallpaper out at the extension office. They have that meeting room that has the old grass paper on it. That'd be a good project. But when I talked to Nicole, there was a lot of days that they would be here that she said that they had meetings on that it wouldn't work. So I'm going to continue and see what I can come up with on that.
In that program, is Patty wanting you to take all 10 of them at once?
Yeah, they all come as a group. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that does make it tougher.
Yeah, it does. So you'd have to have some nice big projects to have them do. So
to be able to keep them busy for that many
hours. Yeah, and they have a team leader that watches over them, but that's pretty much what she had asked is, you know, when I said, well, usually we have outdoor work and things like that, and she said, well, you know, if you have something that's really structured and important type work.
Maybe you can use them on some of the landscaping or something like that.
Yeah, I'd like to take them up on it. That's a lot of hours of help.
Absolutely. Any questions for Dave? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
With that, we'll pause committee reports, and I'm going to turn this over to Scott. Mr. Bates, take it away.
All righty. Thank you. Yeah, I'd like to introduce Frank Smith. He enlisted in the United States Army June 10, 1942. He was honorably discharged November 11, 1945, with the rank of corporal. During Mr. Smith's time in service, he was awarded the World War II Campaign Medal with 3 Bronze Stars for the Battle of Rome, Arnaro, North Apennines, and the Po Valley. He was also awarded the Good Conduct Medal. Frank turned 100 May 5th, and he's still delivering meals to seniors in the community. At this time, I'd like to turn the podium over to Frank.
Thank you. I asked Scott, what do I talk about? Now, how long can I talk? He says, it'll take as much time as you want. So what time do you serve lunch? There are a lot of good memories and bad memories that come up when this invitation came to me. And gosh, I had some thoughts that I put away for years ago, and they came up again. I'm going to talk about experiences I had in my military career. Of course, I was a volunteer, and that means a lot to me because I did so for my country. Back in those days, some 70 years ago, there was more feelings for our country and patriotism than there is today, which is sad. I started out in boot camp training. I built a lot of slit trenches, which we didn't use when I got over there. And we had an exercise one time on how to camouflage our trench. And there was a major who was the inspecting officer. And he got through with his inspection, and he says, "This is the worst exhibition I've ever experienced. This is terrible." And he made some more comments, and he stepped backward and fell into my trench. And that was the end of the exercise. We were taught jujitsu, hand-to-hand combat. And the training was over, and there was to be an exhibition exercise. And the lieutenant, he was 5 feet, 10 and a half, weighed about 180 pounds. And he waved at me, he said, "You come over here and we'll do an exhibition." And I was 5 feet five, weighed 120 pounds. I asked the lieutenant, I said, "Are you sure you want to do this? You just come over here and we'll do this." So I did. And we started. I sent him a flying. And that was the end of the exercise. But it did my heart good anyway. We were shipped from Paso Robles, California, to the East Coast to embark to go overseas. And we went to Newport. And as I was looking out the window of the train, another train come pulled up alongside. Guys got out with submachine guns. I thought, what in the world is going on? So I got out of the train and went over to talk to them. And he said, "Well, these are the guys that don't want to go overseas. And they're the POWs and they're on the way to Leavenworth," and which was a prison. And I thought, gee whiz, here am I on my train going there and they're going to Leavenworth. And I couldn't imagine why people would feel like that. I was a patriot, and it kind of irked me. But anyway, we went. I went overseas in the Liberty ship. Now, they built those Liberty ships, and about half the time it was ordinary military transport. And it was bare iron and no frills, but it would float about 7 knots. I had quite an experience on that. The first experience I had was an attack by a German U-boat pack. Boy, the destroyers were flying around. The depth charges were exploding all over. I stayed on deck. I figured if we were going to get hit, I wasn't going to be down in the hold. Only one ship was hit by that. And I thank the Lord that our ship got free. And the next thing that occurred on the way, we were about 100 miles out of Gibraltar. A big storm came up. And I looked astern and I saw this wall of water, 45 feet high. Now imagine how high 45 feet is. The captain turned the ship around. I stayed in the bow because I wasn't going down into the hold with all the vomiting 100 guys down there. And we met the wall, and I looked, and I just see the water and the huge wall in front of me. And the captain drove the ship into the wall, and she went up and up and up and got to the top. The bow was on one side and the propellers were on the other, and then down she came. Good old Liberty ship, she floated all the way. That was the only time I was really scared, I think, even through the war. I went into Gibraltar and into Algeria. Now, Algeria at that time was controlled by the Vichy French. Vichy French people were those pro-German. When the before we got there, there were transports landing supplies, and the Vichy fired on them, and that was a mistake for them. People were poor. We don't know what poor is here. They might get one good meal a week if they could find it. We were in camp there for 2 months. And we had these pyramidal tents. You know what a pyramidal tent is? It's a high-walled tent that would hold a dozen guys. The civilians, Algerians, banded together and charged the camp looking for food. And we fired overhead to dispel them. That's how hungry they were. People in those foreign countries, I tell you, they're in terrible, terrible shape. Used to be, and 75 years ago, I don't know how they are right now. But firing overhead at those people was quite disturbing to me. I wasn't quite ready to do something like that. I remember one time I got baptized really good going into the war. We were put on PT boats, torpedo boats, and went up the Adriatic some 130 miles. And as we were going up there, I happened to look up into the sky. I saw this aircraft going away from us and then turning around and then aiming at us. And it turned out to be a Fokker German. And boy, he was gunning for us. And I sounded the alarm because the guys were looking the other way. And I rushed over to the pilot house so I could lean up against the wall. And sure enough, he started firing, and those bullets just went over my head. I was fortunate that I had the presence of mind to do something like that. We got into Sierra Vicha and started to unload, and it was getting dark. And I remember that the truck drivers met us, loaded us up, and they turned on their headlights. which was a big mistake, because overhead was a Stuka German bomber, and he saw the headlights through the trees going through a forest, and he started dropping the bombs. There's two kinds of bombs. There's a super quick fuse, which explodes on contact, and then there's the depth bomb that holds off until it goes into the building and then explodes. Now, those super quick fuses on those bombs exploded okay when they hit the trees, and the shrapnel screamed through the trees. And I decided I better do something, so I hid behind a great big tree, and the shrapnel hit the other side of the bark, and I escaped again. I think the good Lord was looking after me. Then we went on and encountered rifle fire. Boy, I was a veteran by that time. But we landed in Naples, and I made friends with some Italians there, and they invited three of us for our dinner, which would be spaghetti. It turned out that they were part of the Italian underground, and they told us a lot of stories about what they did there. The rear of their building was along the railroad tracks, and the Germans used those tracks for their trains to take their troops up to the front, Rome. These people had a machine gun, and they aimed the machine gun through the rear window. And as the trains went by, they fired at the side of the trains through the windows. I venture to say that by the time that train got to its destination, it was full of dead guys. Well, when we were there, the machine was gone. The underground had had it already up in front doing its thing. We people here in Nebraska live in peace most of the time. And it's hard for anyone to imagine those things without experiencing them. As we went on north, up the mountains, as we advanced, the mountains ahead got higher and higher and higher. The civilians were still living in the areas, and I had a countess for a friend, and she taught me Italian. And by the time I reached the Po Valley, I could speak 8 dialects, and I made friends with a lot of Italians. I made special friends with a family whose husband was a shoemaker, but he couldn't make shoes because there wasn't any leather anymore. They lived in a stone house, stone floors, no bathroom, no running water, no electricity, but they survived. It was coming Christmas time, and they had a daughter named Angela, 10 years old, and I made friends with her, and she finally broke down and made friends with me. She's very timid because they experienced some terrible things with the Germans. I had two buddies, and we rode home and asked our families to send us gifts for a 10-year-old girl. And the gifts arrived in time. And among the gifts was a wooden walking doll that you've seen them where they walk down a ramp, which was a slanting board. And Angela fell in love with that. That was a good Christmas. And that night it began to rain. We received orders to move out the next morning. And I walked in mud up to my ankles. I walked behind a tank in the exhaust to keep warm. And I thought, hey, Angela, that was a good thing. Reached the edge of the Pool Valley and went in an encampment. And I made friends with an Italian family. And one day they sent a runner to me, inviting me to come to their house. I thought that was pretty nice for them to do something like that, to pick me out among all the guys. So I went there, and their son had just come home. He was a prisoner of war of the Germans. When our troops were coming, they marched them 100 miles north to get away from the Allied forces. They were rescued by our Allied troops, and he was released from the prison camp, and he walked 100 miles back to where we were. Then he began to tell us of his experience as a POW. But before he started, they shut the doors, they locked the doors, they put blankets over the window and the doors, so we were all inside and nobody outside could hear us. And here we were in the middle of the American Army and they were doing that. That's fear. That impressed me more than anything. We hear some people say there weren't any concentration camps. These things didn't happen. I was at Dachau, a prison camp. I was at gas chambers. I was at the execution post, where so many people had been executed that the blood ran on the ground. And you know what? The plants there were more profuse than they were elsewhere because of the blood that fed them. And you wonder how people could do things like that. One of the things they would do would stand the prisoners in the rain at attention all day. The idea was for them to get sick and pneumonia and die. We're here today doing the things we're doing. You're sitting here in peace. But you're here because of those who died. Well, the war ended. I was offered a commission 3 times, and I turned it down because I was coming home. As I went in the ship and out toward Gibraltar, I passed a pile of aircraft, 5 miles long, mile wide. And those same aircraft, I remember when they flew in, they had to fly down to Naples and turn around to get high enough to bomb up north. And it took 2 hours for them to pass. I thought, my goodness, somebody's sure going to get it. But it was cheaper to pile those aircraft up in a big pile than to ship them home. So they took the vitals out of them, and that's the way it was. The natives there would take the tires off and make soles for sandals to wear because there were no shoes. I didn't have much experience going home. It's kind of boring. I got home okay. Got discharged at Leavenworth. One day, I was walking on 6th Street in Beatrice, and a truck backfired. And boy, I hit the deck. Well, I felt kind of foolish, and I looked around, and you know what? Nobody paid any attention. So I guess the war was over. I thank you kindly for listening. Thank you.
Mr. Smith, on behalf of the county and the Board of Supervisors, I present you with these small tokens of our appreciation.
Well, thank you.
And I thoroughly enjoyed the talk you gave us.
Well, thank you
very much, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Truly the Mr. Smith, truly the greatest generation. Hearing what you said about patriotism and how that has wavered, hearing stories like that for our kids and all of us to hear that, you're exactly right. We don't know poverty. We don't know what it's like to be hungry, and to see that, you never forget it. Thank you for your service.
Thank you very much for having me. When you get to be 100, you got to be like the old farmer. Keep moving, buddy.
I hope not.
We'll go back to committee reports. Equalization. I guess we'll be talking about the referees and potential disputes that come in. Finance and insurance.
Okay. Everybody out there is wondering how could we have spent almost $4 million. I'll try to explain it to you. Advanced correctional health care, jail medical, $10,371.49. Ottoman Technologies, annual maintenance fee, assessor's office, $26,137. City of Wymore, quarterly EMS services, $10,000. G-Works, county web support, assessor's office, $19,922. Jones Automotive, sheriff, change out vehicle, $13,966.84. Washington County Sheriff's Office, inmate boarding, $13,500. Beatrice Concrete, sand and gravel, rock and gravel, $57,536.44. This is just material only. Manelli Wagner and Associates, consulting services, $47,682.74. Metal Culverts Incorporated, Culverts, $13,818.06. RL Teeman Construction Incorporated, gravel and hauling, material and hauling, $43,293.30. Sapp Brothers, fuel and oil, $14,099.11. Engage, quarterly payment, $31,326.01. First Wireless, law enforcement supplies coming from the inheritance fund, $15,890. Last but not least, judgment for Joseph White Estate, $730,768.92. Judgment, Kathleen Gonzalez, $233,846.06. Judgment, Thomas Winslow, $730,768.92. Judgment for Joanna Taylor, $730,768.92. Judgment for Deborah Sheldon, $225,076.83. Judgment for James Dean, $271,846.04.
Thank you, Mr. Juergens. That'll drop the judgment amount left, remaining judgment, to approximately $8 million with interest and ongoing time. Human Resources, Employee Relations. I don't believe there is anything. Law Enforcement, Emergency Management, Planning and Zoning. Morning, Lisa.
Good morning. I just have a couple dates that I want to share with you this morning. First of all, on the emergency management side, Gage County and the Red Cross is going to host a boot camp together, so we're encouraging volunteers, anybody that wants to get involved in helping at disasters, and specifically those that are deployed after a fire to help with those resources. We'll have some flyers available, but they'll reach out to Red Cross to register. But that'll be on June 4th. It's a Saturday, a training. And then our next zoning meeting is scheduled for June 7th. And at that meeting, we will be reviewing our solar regulations right now. We'll also be working with the NRD with some terminology in our regulations. We do have a special use permit that has been presented to us by Eric Engler, and that is for a private and or public cabin that is located on property of Don Schuler. And so it's not because Don is a county board member, but it's because it's a special use in a floodplain area, which Mark is working on the review process, and it's for, again, public and or private use, and so it has to come forward for a special use permit process. And so that's all I really have.
Thanks. You, Lisa. Any questions for Ms. Wiggin? All right. Thank you much. Sheriff or Chief, do you have any update for us for this morning? It's later on.
What we're going to do later on.
All right. Road and Bridge.
Discussions on Monday. Mark is looking to hire a new patrol operator due to retirement. Armor coating is starting end of this month. Will be done hopefully June 3rd. Concrete culvert in Hooker is falling apart. Barricades are up. This is a structure that the NRD has an easement that lets water being backed up underneath it with that easement. So possibly look at a different type of bridge replacement for this. Bus bridge contractor needs county to do extra work pulling trees out and making pads so we can get out and repair work. Sherman Township wants to give up 3 miles of rock and gravel allocations to take over the 3 miles in between two county roads. The county patrols the 3 miles to the, or the miles to the north and to the south, and this is a fairly high traffic road, so it probably makes sense. Mark's going to look into it to go ahead and see if we can exchange some things and have the county do the whole stretch through there. Last but not least, Mr. Kunky has passed his highway superintendent test and is now fully licensed. Thank you.
Six.
Just three.
Oh.
Six. I know it's three.
No, Mr. Lytle.
You can finish what you're going to say for Road and Bridge.
Oh, we had discussions too. I listened back through the tape. Sounds like we put some road counters out on the Virginia Road. With that, we had some calls to Mark Minnelli and stuff. I'll remind everyone on the board, either Terry or I are the only ones that are to call Minnelli. He will be billing anyone else personally if you call him. That's per our standing rules. So if Mr. Schuler has had a 3.5-hour conversation in the past on Virginia Road, which...
With Minnelli. 3.5 hours?
That was Mark's call.
And I asked him any conversation we had, I asked him prior to our conversation if he was charging me. And he said no.
He didn't charge on that, I don't believe either, but we don't know what his charge.
I did not have a 3.5-hour conversation with him.
Well, that's his recollection. But he will not be taking calls from any of you. If you have something, go to Mr. Juergens or myself or Mr. Kunky. I guess directly for Mr. Kunky, the discussion, it sounds like on Monday, was wait until today to put any counters out, and then we put them out Tuesday. I wasn't here. It doesn't matter that they went out. If the board says wait, that's a direct discussion. So I just want to be very flat. Whatever the board says, I mean, if I'm calling you with something, it's probably because the board's told me that. Discussions with outside personnel, professionals, in this case, our engineer, go to Mr. Juergens or myself or Mark. And Mark, if the board tells you, you know, build an arc, start building that arc the day they told you to, not before, not after. I mean, there's going to be circumstances that go outside of that norm, but we just have to follow protocol and follow the rules that we have set in place, specifically with the professionals. I talked to council on that and in our standing rules. This is very direct how this takes place. That'll lead to a little bit better decorum in our meetings and stuff too, so please go about the proper protocol. I think at this point that's all the further I'm going to go on any of that. But Mr. Lytle.
Going back to human resources, we did have some discussion the other day about the fact that we hadn't looked at the handbook since 2018 and needing to go back through and just confirm everything in there, maybe have some small changes, a couple of things that we need to discuss and work through. I think that's something that we probably need to get done.
I know we've got a small list of some of those that we've brought up over time. I know you're not busy with the elections this year, but if you could get something together for us or...
We have some of the updates. There isn't a lot of changes that usually take place.
Mr. Dorn.
And on Road and Bridge, I had a Sherman Township official talk to me yesterday and is really wanting the board to take on these 3 miles. And I said there would probably be gravel allotment change. And he said that's not a problem because they had to put most of their gravel on these 3 miles all the time anyway.
And they're wanting to swap some out. Have we heard, did you guys talk about the bridge down south at all? Is there any new update on that? On the Nebraska-Kansas line? Mm-mm. No new information there yet?
There just was a claim or part of the claim. Part of that bill to Minnelli's was to the state line bridge inspection.
Oh.
So we just didn't know how that was. What was the goal to inspect that? Was it just so that we could maintain it, or what? I just didn't know what that was for.
Mr. Kunke, I'm assuming that's just our yearly inspections.
That was when Minnelli came down, and we were coming up with ideas rather than replacing the full bridge with Marshall County's estimate. That was coming down and do an assessment of a couple different ideas, and then inspecting the bridge at the same time.
Did you present any of those ideas, or did Mark give any of those ideas to Marshall?
Yes.
Because there was two different water crossings, or different water crossing, low water crossing ideas, and some really low maintenance, long-term potential.
There was three options that I presented to them, low water crossing, a possible modular bridge for cost-wise purposes. If the low water wasn't going to pass from them, but as for Marshall County getting back to me, I have not received any phone calls from them yet.
There were some ideas too, and this may be something that comes back to the board eventually. Sometimes you find things by accident. In looking at that bridge, there may be some really good ideas for future projects throughout the rest of the county too, it seemed like. Whether it be supplier or like you said, the modular bridges. Or
the modular bridge, I think, could be something that could be used in place of a box culvert in low volume areas for a third of the cost of what a box would be put in for.
Definitely worth looking into.
It'd be something where it'd be in and out in a week's time, roughly.
Well, the sheriff keeps looking at new stuff, so if we can save money at Road and Bridge, that'd be great. He can only save so much, he says, so, I mean, we have to find some.
I hit him up for new gate automatic gate openers down there at the shop.
Yeah, I approved that.
Yeah, and Chief approved it.
Nice. Thank you, Chief.
No problem.
Any other questions for Mark or anything else for Road and Bridge? Mr. Schuler.
Is the traffic count then, is it set up? Did you set it out?
Those were set out Tuesday.
Well, that wasn't, yeah. School ends tomorrow. What did you find out on, you listened on the recording to the meeting to determine what, and what was the result of that?
The result of that, listening to the meeting, it was it would be discussed Wednesday, and then we'd decide what we were going to do. You agreed to it.
The board agreed to it. Oh, you mean from Monday?
Monday's meeting.
What did we do last fall? I was under the impression that we decided to do the count after harvest and before school was let out.
We didn't look back at that one. I told council this morning, I can't remember everything we talk about, but I thought we had said we'd address that later and potentially put counters out, but we hadn't set a time or anything, you know, a specific time. But
in 22 years, the traffic count has changed 1%.
But that would be, well, I guess that's quite a bit less than.
Oh, when you take the count in July.
I don't know when the last, from the past records in 2000, the average daily traffic was 122 cars.
And what time of the year was that taken?
I couldn't tell you. In July, August of last year, the average on those 3 miles coming off the highway was at 151, and I'm going to assume a percentage of them turns into Virginia, and by the time they got down to Linden Road, it dropped down to 131.
Well, we'll have a count here.
Well, it's
over the
schools,
next 7 days.
School's out. So it won't be an accurate.
I don't understand what school is going to play a part on this.
You don't?
No.
There could potentially
be
some more cars from some area. But I mean, it'll be a different time of the year again. I mean, any time you put counters out, you're going to have.
They're going to fluctuate.
I was going to say, without fail, whoever, wherever we put a counter out, wherever it is, they said, well, yeah, if you would have been here last week. Well, sorry, we're late to the dance. It's always going to change one way or another. When crops in the field, maybe we say that we're getting extra count for checking crops. When school's in, extra for school. When school's out, extra for kids fishing. I don't know. But Ms. Saxby?
The discussion was is that if that one was skewed, then all the other ones done in July would also be skewed for school or whatever other. I mean, you can never pick a perfect time for every road, but that's not the idea either. It's just average traffic.
You're never going to find the peak. We don't necessarily usually want to find the peak. We want to find some in between.
I'm not looking for the peak.
What are you looking for then, Don?
An accurate average count.
For what reason?
For future maintenance on that road. What reason do we take a traffic count on any
maintenance
road?
Maintenance.
Or improvements. For what reason do we take a count on any road?
What you're saying is you want to pave that extra 3 miles. Is that what it is?
Well, it could lead to that. That's what I've been told is the reason behind not focusing or considering doing that road is because of the lack of traffic. Besides that point, why do we do traffic counts on any road? And if I, as a district representative for that district, ask for a traffic count during the school year, during an average representative traffic count period, is it returned down? Why is that turned down? Why is this board against that?
Wait, what was turned down?
Doing a traffic count during school. During an average or a representative period of time. Why is that so difficult?
I didn't realize extending the discussion 2 days later was considered turning it down.
I was going to say, the counters
are actually
out. Well, it
wasn't done. We talked about it last fall. I wanted a count there, and Eric, and I understood his reasoning, said that we didn't want to do it during a high traffic count because of harvest. That would be unrepresentative. So I was, well, okay, let's do it after harvest is over. And that was what I remember it being agreed upon,
well,
that we do it then.
We've got it out there now. Let's
and school's out.
Well, let's double it then. That is a minute amount of traffic.
The whole
let's
point
triple
is,
it. We're still the minute
Eric,
amount of traffic.
You can be a smart A if you want to.
What do you want?
What?
Do you want
the
us
whole
to
point is a supervisor.
Hush. What I'm saying is we can double it, we can triple it, we can quadruple it. It's a low count traffic. What do you want us to make it into?
The whole point is, Eric, as I wanted to say, why is it so difficult for a supervisor to get a traffic count aside from what the count might be, even if it's one? I'm asking for a traffic count. What is the resistance? Is there resistance? Can you give me an answer?
Well, I would say there's not much because we have traffic counters out there.
Not when it was requested.
When did you request it?
Last fall. Probably in October.
Traffic counters are typically not used during the winter time or springtime. Am I correct, Mark?
Wintertime, yes. They're not used.
So the only reason I can see for trying to push for these more is to change the road. Our traffic count is so low there. Like I say, double it. So we'll make it 300. We'll see what's there now, but I mean, I don't see it being that high.
That's beside the point. What I'm making is that it's been difficult to get a count there. There's resistance here.
Well, there's a counter there now.
Yeah, it's there now. And after I asked, I don't know how many times, and was persistent Monday, it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't have been persistent about it.
Well, with the counter there now, will this suffice your want once we see these numbers? Or is there something
else you want
us to... Well, it's
not during school. It's too late for this year. Let's just move on.
But you don't want a peak. You want an average. So
yeah, representative.
We're not finding the right peak time for you?
I'm not looking for a peak, and I was agreeable to skip past harvest. That's what you wanted. And I, like, yeah, I didn't say anything against that. That made sense. I'm just looking to do a representative count.
Eric, where are you coming up?
Late July, early August.
Yeah. There was a count done.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It was done right before school. So it's not completely like a count wasn't done. There was a count done.
Yes.
It just wasn't done during the school year. And I think I agree with Eric to a certain degree. I don't have a problem with putting the counters out again. The one thing that I do say is if we're going to do it for one place, we probably need to do all of them again. If you're going to wait until late August or September and do them, then you do everything all again. That way, for one, it's not terrible bad to see where your flows do increase due to the school year. It's not terrible bad to have that. Is it really going to, as far as changing the road or anything, it's not going to do anything.
Yeah. And I'm not arguing that, Gary. I'm just the fact that seemed to be resistance to getting a count done. And it is what it is. Whatever the count is it.
Mr. Juergens.
Those traffic counters, if I remember correctly, and Mark, would have been July or August of last fall. My resistance is, why do we need more? You know, again, immediately. None of the other roads have had traffic counters on them. I mean, within the last 8 months, there was a traffic count on that road. That's why I did not think it was necessary to do it immediately again. That's one reason. There's other roads that, for whatever reason, if we need traffic counts on them, we can do those too.
We've got a lot of high usage roads. If we're going to start looking for improvements, I know we have some high usage roads that probably should be addressed. And if that's something the board wants to look at, is additional hard surfacing in different areas, we can look at those high usage roads, Mr. Juergens.
My way of thinking, prices the way they're going, you know, further, I'm not saying maintenance, but further improvements are out of the question. We've got 160 some miles of hard surfaced roads right now. The county cannot afford to, as the state does, no more hard surface roads unless somebody else takes over some existing roads or improvements they're doing. Basically, right now, you just went through the bills here this month, and you saw there was almost $4 million spent. There is no way we can even think of it. We had a former supervisor here 2 weeks ago that stated the Odell Road was in disrepair. Now, I drive it every day. Is it to a point where we have to do something to it? I haven't been up here beating my fist on the desk demanding something be done with it because I simply know it's not in the cards right now. That's my opinion.
And I don't disagree with you, Terry. I just wanted to have the count. When I thought was representative for the people of that area. And whatever the results are, whatever the determination, so be it.
Well, we'll have a new count again. We'll see what it shows. Like I say, and when I talked earlier, I don't have any problem with the count. We just need to go through things procedurally right, too. We'll see what this says. And I'm sure there's going to be more roads we want to put counters on, see if we're going to make changes. I know people don't want to see a bunch of rock on roads, but it seems like driving them usually is as good an indicator as anything. We also have a federal bridge on a road that didn't have a super high traffic count up on Apple Road. There were projects like that out there in the past. Those dollars have dried up now from the state. But time will tell. We'll see what this one says, and I'm sure there's going to be other counters also. Will this suffice the counts on this particular road for you?
Well, it doesn't sound like it would it's, you know, it's not going to change anything anyway.
Well, we'll see what the...
I'd like to have seen it done during a week that was full school.
It's broke,
in session.
It's broke down by days, or can be broke down by days, and now you're going to have 3 days of school.
Well, that'll... Yeah, if we can do that, that'll...
Maybe when we look at these, let's take a look at the difference on the school days.
That'll be an interesting comparison then.
Versus non-school days. Can you do that now that we told you that you can?
And Terry, if I may comment, it's not, and Terry, it isn't necessarily for the whole 3 miles. I would like, if at a minimum, the board someday consider at least doing a half mile past the village of Virginia.
I'm going to have to get a gavel with just a head on it instead of a handle.
And that's why I want to count. It's just procedure to comply with what may happen in the future. If we have an opportunity to blacktop that half a mile, it's all there. I mean, what we've talked about in the past for Virginia. And if we can't do the 2.5, that's the way it goes. I'm not going to. But I think for the satisfaction of the people of that area, we ought to at least show some interest in doing what we do to make decisions in regards to it. I mean, right now, the cost of it is prohibitive.
How many people live in Virginia, or how many households do we know? Rough number.
I think there's a population of 70 or 80.
Oh, there's that many?
According to the sign.
Okay. I did not realize that. Anything else for Roden Bridge? Forever hold your peace. All right, moving on. Mr. Johnson's here to talk to us from Region 5 Systems and present an annual report.
Eric.
Oh.
69 to answer your question.
69 folks. Thank you.
Yep.
How'd you find that so fast? Of course. Morning, Mr. Johnson.
I'm still getting over to the bang.
it's just far enough away. With this handle, you can reach out.
It's a good thing Frank wasn't here. He would hit the deck.
I thought that too.
I need just the top so I don't have so much lever action.
Well, good morning. My name's C.J. Johnson. I'm the regional administrator with Region 5 Systems. We are responsible for providing behavioral health services to individuals who are either underinsured or have no insurance or need some other kind of support. When I say behavioral health, that's both mental health and substance use, and we do that in 16 counties in southeast Nebraska. I'm just going to kind of quick walk through the annual report. I would, on page 2, there's a picture of Denny Byers. I just want to say that I've worked with Denny for 30 years in the legislature and through here, and he was the chair of our board for years and years, and I don't know if the empty chair is in his honor there, because I know that's where he always sat. Maybe it's not, but he was a good friend of mine, and I will miss him, but Emily's been there, and I don't. Are you got it all picked up already?
Not quite.
So anyway, on page 5, you'll see that we manage about $25 million annually. The dollar amount that's there right now is still for fiscal year 19-20, which is 24-5, and that's because we're still waiting for the audit. COVID slows down everything, doesn't it? You'll see that we spend about 62% of our funding on adult services and only about 12% on children's services, and that's because most of that funding is spent in child welfare and juvenile justice. We also have money going towards your prevention coalition. I believe it's still Gage County Maps is the name of that. And so we have funding going there. And then we also help support the emergency system, working with your law enforcement, et cetera. So with that said, on page 8, you'll see all the providers we contract with. We don't provide direct services per se. We contract with providers. Blue Valley Behavioral Health is our primary provider in the rural counties that we serve. But you can see that through all those contracts, we provide a number of services across the region. If you just flip the page, I'm going to talk real quickly about this. Region 5 has one of the most robust data systems across the state. There are 6 regions, and we have by far the most robust data system. So we really can make good, informed decisions when we're working with our providers, how we want to invest the funding. In fact, many times the state of Nebraska calls us for information because our system is even more robust than theirs. I just want to share this. The Division of Behavioral Health does not have any data on anybody that's in Medicaid. Okay, they don't share that information. We have contracts with our providers. They put everybody that walks through their doors in our data system. So we know how many individuals with Medicaid, how many individuals with insurance, et cetera. So just wanted to share that. We're wrapping up right now on page 16. We had 2 federal grants the last couple years. The first one was for flooding that occurred several years ago. And then the last 2 years, we've had a federal grant to get out there and help promote educating counties, educating health departments, and educating people, and providing vouchers for mental health services or substance use services as they relate to COVID impact. So we're wrapping those up right now. Page 24, in 2004, and I forgot to mention this, maybe some of you don't know this, but Denny was one of the main authors on LB 1083, which was behavioral health reform. During that, that's when we were able to increase many community services. Part of that bill also set aside funding to promote stable housing for individuals who had mental health issues. And that's called a rental assistance program. And we've served numerous individuals over the years and families to provide stable housing. And our intention is, a lot of times individuals can have a bad renter's history because of their mental health issues, et cetera. And so what we do is try and get them in stable housing, get them that history of good housing by providing vouchers, and then transfer them on to Section 8. And I'm very proud to say that over the years, we've had about a 76% success rate. And these are individuals who have really struggled. So we really see that as wonderful outcomes. I'll talk a little bit about the emergency system coordination. So we provide funding to help support the emergency system. That funding, so when your law enforcement encounters somebody who's having a mental health crisis, they can place that person on an emergency protective custody hold. And when they do, then they transfer that person to the crisis center in Lancaster County. In the last fiscal year, you had 25 emergency protective custody holds. And I just want to point out that the average length of stay at the crisis center is about 4 days. If you weren't taking those individuals to the crisis center, you'd be taking them to a hospital. And you can imagine, just saying it's $1,000 a day, you're talking $100,000 right there. But we all know hospitals are more expensive than that. So that's a real good deal for you. The other thing that your law enforcement does incredibly well for a rural county is they use our crisis response teams. And that's Arnold, right? Every time I see crisis response team, I get this look like, what are you talking about? But it's Arnold Remington and his task force. And Gage County, in the last fiscal year, called that line and utilized them 79 times. Now, what I want you to know is, years ago, 90% of those individuals, those 79, would have ended up at a crisis center. okay? But because your law enforcement's utilizing that, we have a 90% diversion rate from taking those people up to the crisis center, where it still costs you money, you know, but it's still a huge savings to your county. And then finally on page, oh, how come I always cover that one up? 32. I do want to talk about our Family and Youth Investment Program. This is a program that started in 1995, and I don't know if I'm proud to say this or I'm just old to say it, but I'm the only one left in the state that is associated with that program since it started in 1995. I still provide all the clinical supervision for it. This program serves families who have a child with a serious emotional disturbance, and we have, over the years since 1995, our goal is to keep kids in the communities, their schools, and their homes. And since 1995, we've had over a 90% success rate. So that's been really a good program to work with. Now let's talk about the state-required contribution, okay? And that's on this sheet that I gave out, okay? So in the left, on the gray area, that was your fiscal year 21-22 contribution, and that was based on the 2010 population. Now that the census finally got done, again because of COVID, we're using the 2020 population. And Gage County did see an increase in their overall population. Or no, I'm sorry, a decrease. So last year, the legislature approved a 2% increase for providers in their rates. And then this year, because of COVID, Senator Stinner, what you have to understand, because of COVID, if you're a residential program for 16 individuals, there's a period of time where they could maybe only serve 8 because they couldn't have 2 people in a room, right? So Stinner recognized that, plus provider rates have been behind forever. So the Appropriations Committee also did a 15% increase. So we're still sorting out all the dollar amounts, but the dollar amount that I'm going to tell you right now is going to be the maximum required contribution. And that is, and I saw Don frantically highlighting it already. But the mental health contribution, if you look clear to the right, will be $57,377 for Gage County. And for substance use, it'll be $10,321. Now, again, that'll be the maximum amount of required contribution. We're still sorting through what the overall intention of the Appropriations Committee was and what the actual required contribution will increase to, but that will be the maximum amount. So, any questions?
When we were at the last meeting, they were talking about the opioid crisis and how school, is it resource officers that can reach out?
Say that again.
The resource officers at schools for this, the Narcan. They were talking about the resource officers.
Yes, and I'm not the expert on that, but a resource officer is a law enforcement entity, so they can have Narcan on them.
Yeah, because there was some limiting factor happening in the legislature.
And we're very disappointed in that because the last couple of years we have really promoted Narcan. We've gotten it into some of the pharmacies. So if I was a parent, if I'm a parent and have concern about a relative, I could go in and get that. And for whatever reason, this last 6 months, the state reinterpreted that federal grant and cut back on that. So it's only law enforcement, first responders, resource officers could use it.
But that was something that wasn't as well known. They said that the resource officers count as...
Correct. People hadn't considered that. Yep. That's something that Sandy will be out promoting. So, yep. Any other questions?
We were just talking. The sheriff had a bridge program
go away this year?
Yes.
Is this something that they can utilize you with as far as bringing people up that are on some type of substance? And
We have not funded civil protective custody for several years, and that's because the Division of Behavioral Health said because that civil protective custody cannot be nationally accredited, that cannot be funded through us. Okay, but what I would recommend is Lancaster County is having a series of meetings right now because they're going to be in the same boat. And what I would recommend is maybe contacting them, seeing what they're thinking. There's a lot of other rural counties that they're not going to be able to go to the bridge. And it's very possible you could reach out to, and I'm not going to say this, Blue Valley Behavioral Health or somebody, to see if they might be interested in doing some contracts, okay, along with Lancaster County to do that. I think I looked this up. I think Gage County, including the city of Beatrice, had like eight 2 years ago and eight this last year.
So, unfortunately, we don't have a lot.
Right. But Lancaster County does have a big one because when they have those football games and stuff, you know, they're taking them there. So that's what I would recommend. And in fact, I may even have a meeting in the next 4 or 5 days group that's kind of talking about that.
Well, I'm sure by looking at doing some contracts, that's going to be an additional expense we didn't have before. What they do.
Well, because we weren't paying for it, so I don't know where they were, that funding was coming from. But, yep.
Any other questions for Mr. Johnson? Thank you, sir.
I wondered what all the commotion was going on.
I would ask for a motion to put this report on file.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Haxby. Any discussion? It's a quick touch. Are you on BBCA, Don?
Yes.
You might ask, too, if anything will be,
okay,
you know, open to the Sheriff's Department or any assistance they could help with, okay, something in lieu of the bridge program. Motion by Dorn, second by Haxby. Please vote. Oops. Six in favor, motion carries. Place that report on file. Ms. Andrews won't be joining us today. She has another scheduling conflict. Up next, approve or disapprove resolution directing the Gage County Attorney to institute action to foreclose on delinquent real estate taxes.
22-07.
Resolution 22-07. Roger, do you want to say anything on this, or this is
basically just a precursor? We have to have this approved so we can go ahead and follow our foreclosure protocol. So, asking you to approve it.
Question: is this something that, like, we've done before? I'm trying to understand what this means.
Yeah, basically, it's kind of like I won't say it's first step because the first step is we get information from the treasurer that these properties are in delinquency status, and then we have to get this resolution to go forward.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm trying to think if it's an annual thing. Anyhow, we have to get this done before we actually institute the proceedings in district court.
Okay.
Yeah.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Dorn, second by Juergens. Any additional discussion on this procedural item? For resolution 22-07. No additional discussion. Please vote. Six in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove child support enforcement contract for a 3-year term effective 7/1/2022 through 6/30/2025. There was a question on how that the math worked out on that. Counselor looked at that. It is correct. It's a 5% increase.
It is, yeah. And again, if I went back, I was having a little trouble, too, because, you know, I'm not saying that math's my strong suit, but usually if you plug it in the calculator, it comes out right. Anyhow, when I actually went back to the 2019 contract. If you flip the page and go into the body of the contract, the correct numbers are there. It's what you call that whereas language. Sometimes cut and paste doesn't work so well. And that's what happened. It was in the precatory language. It was not replaced. So it is a 5% increase. I would just tell you that Steve Kravix and Laura Marston are doing a great job. And as you also note there, we do get reimbursement from the state for that. And again, they do a great job keeping up on the child support stuff. So, the increase is more than last time, but what hasn't gone up. So I would ask you to consider approving that.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Doran, second by Juergens. You two are on it. Any discussion?
The change of...
Please vote. 6 in favor. I agree with Roger on that. Up next, approve or disapprove 2022-2023 drug court interlocal agreement. Counselor, I'll turn this over to you again.
Okay. Again, Chris Reese is the new coordinator this year, and she's got another commitment today in another county with supervisors. I would just note again, the drug court has been a large success. The rate of keeping people off the hard drugs as well as, it's not just hard drugs, any kind of substance abuse is tremendous. It's over the national level. And, again, as far as savings to the county, I always point out that if we do a jury trial in this county on a felony, we're spending anywhere around $10,000. With the drug court, and we do have a lot of support from the state offices to fund that. Even though our number has gone up a little bit this year, again, it's because our percentage of people involved in the program went up, and that's what it's all geared to. It's still much, much less than it would cost to put these people in the criminal system, and when they get done, they're right back with the same problems that they started with. So if you got any specific questions, I'll try to address them. And otherwise, again, I would ask you to approve this. It's been a great program. I think we're in our 15th year.
Oh, wow.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens.
I change it up a little bit.
Second by Dorn. Any additional discussion on this? A lot of success. And that would be a contribution of $10,047.50, up $1,000 from last year. Easily save more than that in the court system, very easily.
Absolutely, on one case.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. One, not for the program. Motion by Juergens, second by Dorn. Additional discussion? Seeing none, please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries.
Whose phone is going off?
It's yours.
No, it isn't.
Mine. I thought it's over here.
It's Terry.
Up next, discuss and approve or disapprove increasing the fee for Moen County abandoned cemeteries. This is another one that we talked about a couple weeks ago. It was brought up. We're currently at $500. State statute allows us to go to $1,000.
We did change that in 2007 is when we changed to the 500. And these are the contracts that we had signed.
Everyone signed contracts for the cemeteries for this year, which would go through October 1st.
Okay, so here's what they need to mow and when they need to do it.
So, here's your summary.
Shall we not do it?
So there's five mowings a year. Paid $250 in the spring, $250 after.
Or they can ask for it all after.
Or they can be paid later. But we currently pay $500 per cemetery, and that's the stipend everyone gets.
How many cemeteries?
13, wasn't there?
13. I believe
there was
12, 13.
There's 16 cemeteries. 16.
16.
15 here.
Let's see. Is this 15? The one that we took back off. There may be 15.
Yeah, there's 15.
15 because we turned 15. One back. That one that was Crawford's, you know, took back over. Oh. So that went from being abandoned to active again.
I'd like to make a motion to raise the payment to $1,000.
Effective when?
Right now.
So we're going to retro the agreements that were signed in February, right? That's what you mean.
Well, at the time, Don, I guess I was confused. You know, we discussed about a raise at the time, and I thought it was done back then. But I feel that should be done. It's fair. As I stated before, I'll be planted in one of those possibly someday. I want it to look nice.
No, Terry, you won't be planted in one of these because these are abandoned. There's no more grazing.
How do you know? I've got a marker in one of them.
Second.
By Jurgen, second by Dorn to raise the yearly.
Bring the contract.
Contract for mowing the abandoned cemeteries to $1,000 retroactively. We'll send out an addendum to the contract and have them each sign it if this passes to allow for that basically 500 spring, 500 after. Mr. Lytle.
Just for info, if we had done a 5% increase in the last 15 years every year, we'd be at $1,091 right now.
Statute doesn't allow you to go above 1,000.
I understand that. I'm not asking to go above 1,000. I'm saying if there had been a 5% increase every year for the last 15 years, it would be at 1,091 currently.
So we would be where we should be, essentially.
I believe so.
Sorry I muddied the water, I guess.
How dare you do math? Well, I'm just saying that we don't have the authority to go above. So I know what you're getting at.
Just for the record, I'm not asking to go over
$1,000. He just stated a comment.
Got it. Okay. Got it.
What are you saying, Gary?
I have no idea.
He's saying $999. What are we talking about?
No, that doesn't make sense. There are... Will you have an agreement with this, though?
Well, this is the agreement we'll send out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
So would that be all right? We send a revision to the agreement. Right now it's $250 spring, $250 after October 1st. This would be $500 spring, $500 fall.
What are you asking?
I'm asking if it's all right.
I'm going to make one. I talked to two people about these that mow them, and I know the law says five times a year, but in most cases it's done a lot more than that, you know, during the year's time.
Plus fence repairs, plus tree removal.
Yeah.
Are these the two people that keep talking to Don about the Virginia Road?
No, these are opposites.
All right.
Traffic counts a lot easier on cemeteries.
I did. I made a motion, didn't
gosh.
I?
Did you catch that?
Traffic counts
did I get a second?
Yes, yeah. We have a motion by Jurgen, second by Dorn. I was just enjoying this, so letting it go a little longer. Any additional discussion? Seeing none, please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. We will get those signed and sent out. Anything else for public meeting? Mr. Lytle.
I'm confused.
Uh-oh.
Gus skipped speaking earlier. There's nothing else on the agenda because he said we were going to do something later on.
Uh-oh.
Is there a closed session?
There is a closed session that I would ask for.
Okay. And then secondly,
I see we have somebody in the audience that normally is here for a reason. I don't know if she's here for a reason or if she missed it or she's
I'm guessing hiding from somebody. Just listening in.
Yeah, I love to get to know you guys more. And so I'm going to the office later, and so I said I'd stop by here. I got some tears in, and I'm like, oh my God, I was a great speaker this morning. So thanks for that.
Actually, I thought maybe she was here to say that this remodel work that was done that the university was looking to spend some dollars.
I know.
I thought maybe that's why she was here. But
wow, I like how you're good trying there.
We're friends, but I don't think that good of friends.
If there's nothing else for public meeting from the board, I would ask for a closed session for law enforcement upgrades at potential upgrades at 10:28. Necessary for the protection of the public interest. Security upgrades. Okay. Security upgrades.
You're going to upgrade law enforcement. That might be a public.
A closed session at 10:28, necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection, needless injury, the reputation of an individual. This one would be for security updates. Potential.
Way to get that poke in.
That was nice.
That was good.
No, motion for...
Motion. Jeepers, I don't know what I need.
Motion by Haxby for closed session at 10:28. Second by Schuler. Any discussion? No action will be taken after this closed session. It will be for discussion only. Anything else I should say on that?
No.
Okay. I would ask you to vote. 6-5 in favor. Motion carries. Eddie stepped out. Yeah, that's public too, isn't it?
We're good. Okay, should we do that for real?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Motion by Dorn, second by Haxby to come out of closed session at 11:35. Please vote.
Practice?
On.
4 in favor.
You practice that?
Motion carries. We're out of closed session.
You know, something.
We are adjourned at 11:35.
Something you should think about for those veterans.